Rob Young, in an op-ed piece in the USA Today, you wrote, "The federal and state governments continue to create a giant moral hazard by the way we fund coastal rebuilding and coastal defense following storms like Sandy." What do you mean, a moral hazard?
Well, basically, David, the federal government and most state governments provide more incentives for making the wrong decision than we provide incentives for making the right decision. So, for example, following Hurricane Sandy, we're pouring in billions of federal dollars, allowing people to rebuild right in place in areas that we know are vulnerable. And when we're not in an emergency situation, we provide subsidized flood insurance. Most states provide subsidized wind or property insurance to make it easier to build in places that we know are going to get damaged, destroyed, and wiped out.
Considering the population density along the eastern seaboard of the U.S., could it be argued we as a nation have an obligation to do whatever we can, regardless of cost, to ensure people can continue to live and work safely on the East Coast?
Well, certainly there would probably be some areas that we would decide that it's within the national interest or it is cost effective to try and protect those places as long as we can. You know, Manhattan's probably a good example. But we can't protect all of it. It would be too expensive. There's not enough sand to build beaches for the entire East and Gulf Coast of the U.S. And it would be a commitment that we would be making forever. And because sea level is rising, it will become only more difficult and more expensive in the future. And the big problem that we have right now is that there's no national plan to make those choices. We have no national guidance. We have no national vision for which areas we should be protecting and which areas we should be walking away from, at least as far as federal expenditures go.
You write that we will attempt to hold the nation's shorelines in place using whatever means possible, whatever the cost. How are we doing that? How are we trying to protect these shorelines?
With the authorization bill following Hurricane Sandy, the message to New Jersey and New York is, hey, we're going to spend $5 billion to try and hold all your beaches in place. And now I think the rest of the nation is, they have that same expectation. The way we're going to do this is by pumping tremendous amounts of sand onto the beaches, shaping that sand into beaches and sand dunes. So for example, in New Jersey and New York alone, the United States Army Corps of Engineers is planning on moving about 20 to 30 million cubic yards of sand. That's the equivalent of filling giant stadium 10 to 15 times with sand. This may sound like an environmentally sensitive solution. Hey, they're rebuilding the beaches and dunes. Isn't that good? Well, you have to understand that all of that sand is coming from the nearshore. It's coming from the underwater environment offshore of the beaches. So we're going to be creating holes out there, the equivalent of 15 giant stadium. And all of the organisms that live on the bottom in those areas are going to be killed. And then when that sand is placed on the beach, it buries a significant section of the nearshore beach, which is also very detrimental to the organisms there. And these projects are designed to protect property. They're not ecosystems. So it may sound green, but it's not really green. We don't really understand the cumulative impacts of doing this on this scale. And certainly, if we were to take this model to the rest of the nation, the environmental impacts would be dramatic.
Are there lessons learned from Sandy that North Carolina should take to heart?
Well, in North Carolina, we also are essentially planning to try and hold our shorelines in place for as long as possible. We're about to replace the Bonner Bridge over Oregon Inlet in the same spot that the bridge currently exists. And that bridge is going to land on a barrier island that is dissolving. When the replacement was planned, the barrier island was intact, but we're a couple years down the road and already the island has been breached in two places. And so we're now building three bridges on Highway 12 in North Carolina instead of just one. We in North Carolina are following down that same path of not looking towards the future, not making those long-term plans, and pretending that we can hold our shorelines in place forever.
But are you suggesting we abandon high-risk coastal areas?
Well, certainly there are some places that we should no longer be spending public funds in. And this is particularly true in resort communities where it's primarily investment property. 98% of the oceanfront in a state like North Carolina is owned by absentee landlords. These are homes that they rent out. Most of them are owned by corporations, LLCs, or trusts. They're not owned by individuals. We have to ask ourselves, should we be spending tax dollars to protect those places? So I certainly believe that the federal government should stop providing incentives for people to invest in areas that we know are going to be damaged by storms.
The president's Hurricane Sandy Rebuilding Task Force released its report in August. Did the report include valuable ideas about what should be done?
Well, there was a lot of good thinking in the report about how we could streamline getting aid into areas post-storm and improve communication. And there's a lot of nice language in there about using better science to understand the flood risk and improve the maps that the Federal Emergency Management Agency uses to determine where flood risks are and to set rates for flood insurance. So that stuff was good. But what I found troubling about the president's report is that there was absolutely no discussion in there about getting some property out of harm's way, particularly in areas where there's been repeat damage, repeat problems, and repeat costs to federal taxpayers. So basically, the primary response recommended in there is to elevate property and structures, but not to get it out of harm's way.
Is all the post-Superstorm Sandy spending actually good for the economy?
It's certainly good for those local communities, the economy of those local communities that are being propped up by the federal expenditures that subsidizes their risk. But I question whether the benefits to the national economy and to all taxpayers, folks who live in the mountains of North Carolina or Nebraska, I question whether the benefits outweigh the costs for those folks.
Rob Young is the director of the Program for the Study of Developed Shorelines at Western Carolina University. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.